Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. As it turns out, I have a student, a young 10th grader, who is from the Ukraine. She came here a few months ago. She has a habit of coming to class early, and sometimes we have short conversations before class begins. The other day, I asked her, "How are you? Are you okay?" And she said, "No, I'm not okay." She said the nuclear power plant that was bombed near in Ukraine yesterday, this was a few days ago, is only about 100 miles from my home, from my family. She also told me that some women in a maternity ward in the Ukraine were raped by Russian soldiers. So she said, "No, I'm not okay." And I sat with her, not knowing what to say. And that feeling, that moment of recognition that she had really answered my question honestly and with a depth and a reality that one rarely gets when one asks another person, "How are you? Are you okay?" Of course, her circumstances are extraordinary. And she is not okay because she is keenly aware of her family in the Ukraine and the danger that they are in. News is a certain kind of reality, isn't it? We get the news, and we get the news from different sources, from the radio, from the internet, or from the television. And, you know, they have those flashy graphics that say, you know, the war, the invasion of Ukraine and such, and it feels as though it's almost like a media event, like the same kind of graphic that you see for the Olympics or something like that. And we tend to experience the information that we get about the war in this manner, in this kind of almost this canned way. And some news is better than others at depicting the reality of what's really going on. But in that moment when I was sitting with my student, I felt the reality of this war in a much greater depth than I had felt it by listening to the news. And it occurred to me that war, we often think of as this grand geopolitical thing that's happening with this kind of these movements of armies and this and the mobilizations of great forces that are attempting to redraw the lines on the map and the movement of tanks and things of that nature. And it feels like a very political experience. But that moment when I was with my student felt like a very personal moment, a deeply personal moment. And it is important to remember that war is not simply a political experience, but a personal one. I was reminded of this book that has always been one of my favorite books, which is I read at a moment in my life which was very affecting. The book is called All Quiet on the Western Front. It's by Erich Maria Remarque, who was a German soldier during the First World War. And the book is a fictional account of his experiences in the trenches in the First World War. And there's one particular moment where the main character, Paul Baumer, gets separated from his fellow soldiers and ends up in a shell, a hole that's been created by a shell. And he loses his sense of direction, and he doesn't know which way to go, whether to go this way or that way, because if he goes the wrong way and runs into the wrong trench, of course, he'll be done for. So he quickly realizes that he has to kind of wait until daylight to figure out which direction to run. And so he kind of embeds himself in the mud in this shell hole and waiting for daylight. And of course, naturally, an enemy soldier comes running into this same hole where he is trying to kind of stay hidden. And before he can even think about it, he lashes out at this enemy soldier and stabs him. But unfortunately, the soldier does not immediately die and remains alive for quite some time. And there they are in the middle of the battlefield, separated from everyone else. And he has to witness his this other fellow human being slowly dying from the wounds that he inflicted. And because he's forced to stay there for hours and hours and hours, he's forced to develop a personal understanding of this individual who he has just mortally wounded. And slowly through time, this person changes from being his enemy to being a fellow human being and to being someone for whom he has compassion. And he tries in vain to save the man's life unsuccessfully, and the man dies. And after his enemy dies, he thinks, well, I have to somehow make amends for this person who I've just killed. And he goes through the wallet and he finds the person's name. He sees the pictures of his family and such. And it becomes a personal experience. War shifts in this moment from being a political experience to being a personal experience. I'm reminded also of something that happened here in this church. You may recall that we, as a church, felt that we needed to do something when the mass shootings of the El Paso mass shootings happened one after another, and it felt like, you know, we had to do something. And as a result, you will all recall, we as a community, we created those 259, I think, crosses, white crosses, which we then put out on the front lawn. We had a service for that process of putting those white crosses onto the front lawn. And I'll never forget that as we were going through the process of putting those white crosses out on the front lawn, I suddenly had this realization that this was really going to take a long time. It was going to take a long time to get all those white crosses into the ground, because each person was getting down on their knees with a mallet and banging that cross into the ground. It was taking forever. No doubt many of you remember this. You were actually doing it yourselves. And I started to get nervous. I thought, well, this is not something, I didn't think of this. I didn't think it was going to take such a long time to do this. And I started getting concerned. And I expressed my concern to the person who was standing nearby, who happened to be Sarah Ellis. And Sarah said to me something very wise. She said, "It's okay, Mark," she said. "It's supposed to take a long time." And I realized in that moment that by taking a long time to pound each of those white crosses into the dirt, we were going through that process of being transformed from the experience of kind of this political thing that we were doing into a personal, deeply personal thing. Because now, slowly, we were coming to terms with the fact that each of those crosses actually represented an actual person. It wasn't a white cross, but it was an actual person who had been killed in this crazy, meaningless way. And of course, this lesson that I learned from the white crosses became the basis of my desire to do the Sacred Ally Quilt ministry, which was also a moment when we took 9 minutes of one person's life, the end of one person's life, and we took his words, and we spent an entire summer quilting those words onto these quilts. Again, we slowed down, and the slowing down turned something that was political into something personal. I learned from that remarkable possibilities of slowing down. That slowing down, doing something gradually, allows the ideas to be absorbed not only into the mind but also into the heart. In the passage that we have from Deuteronomy today, we have a remarkable passage in which God makes a suggestion to those who are entering the promised land. And God says, when you get there, when you get to the promised land, gather up your best fruit and say this, say, "My father was a wandering Aramean." And then, after that, after my father was a wandering Aramean, then acknowledge that we went to Egypt, we were oppressed in Egypt, we were freed from Egypt, we came out of Egypt, we came to the promised land. These vast geopolitical motions are expressed in a personal manner. My father was a wandering Aramean. And then there's the next thing is gathering the fruit and offering the fruit to the priest. And that is how we experience these vast motions of geopolitics, is in this deeply personal way. Again, we're slowing down to humanize the moment. when I was sitting in silence with my student after what she told me, it occurred to me once again that the only way that war is possible, the only way that war is even remotely possible, is if we dehumanize the people who we have decided to kill. And apparently, that is what Vladimir Putin has tried to do. Whether or not he's successful is another question. As soon as we recognize our personal connection to those who are being bombed, then we can no longer bomb them. And our job, as people of faith, is to insist on the humanity of all. That is what is meant by being created in the image of God. That is the fundamental basis upon which all of Jewish and Christian thought lands ultimately. That we are all made in the image of God. And that this image of God requires us to recognize each other's humanity. And if we do, then war is no longer possible. Amen.